Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There's been a political push to try to get a parliamentary inquiry into homelessness off the ground. It's not been an easy path, and Corrie Haddock of the New Zealand Coalition to End Homelessness is here now to discuss why there would be opposition and whether this will be achieved. Thank you for joining us, Corrie.
Not a problem.
Now, what position is this inquiry in? Is it going to happen?
We're not too sure if it's going to happen. My understanding, it's still live. It's still sitting with the Social Services Select Committee. So there hasn't been a vote either way yet.
And why are you pushing to get an inquiry into homelessness off the ground?
Homelessness has been a hidden issue in this country for a long time. And I guess what's happened in the last probably 5 to 10 years is that it's stopped being a big city problem. What the coalition are aware of is that more and more small regional centres around New Zealand are having trouble with homelessness. And so, I think we're at a crossroads. We can address the issue now and I guess stop it before it really gets out of hand, or we can sit on our hands and have a really major problem, the next 5 to 10 years.
You say it's a fairly invisible problem, and yet for a lot of people, homelessness is by its very nature quite visible. You know, we see people sleeping on benches, we see people sleeping on the streets, we see people, during the day, begging for money, that sort of thing. How is it invisible?
Well, I think, what you've described there is probably a small component of homelessness, which is street homeless.
Mm-hmm.
That population is there. But there's, I guess, the hidden homelessness is people living in either unsafe or unsecure accommodation. So, examples are of this are boarding houses and hostels, families living in garages, or, two or three families living in a three-bedroom house. The New Zealand definition of homelessness that was done by Statistics New Zealand in 2008 has all these things under, the umbrella of homelessness. Mm.
And so in terms of, as I say, what you see then is that is just the tip of the iceberg. Give us some statistics, some numbers in terms of how that breaks down.
It's hard to give statistics, to be honest, purely because we don't know. And that's one of the things we're asking for in relation to the inquiry. Let's find out how big this problem is.
Are there estimates?
Well, international research tells us that between 0.5 and 1% of a population is homeless. We've looked at cities like Adelaide that have a similar population to New Zealand. So between 25 and 30,000 people in Adelaide are homeless. There's a guess there.
How is it that we don't have any of this research? And is this one of the goals of the parliamentary inquiry you're trying to get off the ground?
Well, I guess, for a long time, New Zealand's been the land of milk and honey, or perceived as. And there's also that public perception that homelessness is a choice. And, homelessness is not a choice. No one would choose to live, in that sort of environment, in that sort of situation. And so more and more, people are becoming aware of it. More and more agencies are working with homelessness. And I guess it's becoming more and more prevalent. Like I said, not so much in the big cities, but more in, the regional towns and cities of New Zealand.
That's fascinating, that idea that, is it a larger proportion, you think, that just from your own work on the front line there, is it a larger proportion that are street homeless, or is it a larger proportion that are living in those kind of sharing house situations?
Oh, I'd say there's a larger proportion living in that sharing house. There's been a real push in the last probably 3 years to start accommodating people that are living on the streets. So, the focus has gone into what they call primary homeless, so, the street sleepers. So, there's a push to put those people into accommodation, but nothing to address the more invisible stuff. So, back to the, people in garages, people in overcrowded situations.
And tell me, who is pushing back against this inquiry? You've got Labour on side, your group's on side. What's stopping it from getting up and going?
Well, I guess, my understanding is we're probably two or three MPs short of getting the vote.
What's the downside? Why would people not want an inquiry into this problem? Because they don't see it as a priority?
Well, yeah, and I think it's there's probably a real concern. It's a bit of a can of worms, because you're opening up a section of society that no one's really looked at.
It's not going to be a good news story, really, whatever the inquiry finds, is it?
Oh, definitely not. And I guess it's, they talk about the bottom of the cliff, And homelessness is very much the bottom of the cliff. And so it's, you know, it's addressing, you know, it's such a basic need. You know, housing and support for people to maintain housing is, you know, such a simple need. You know, it's a human rights issue.
Do you think, I mean, do you think it's getting worse? Is it something that's been getting worse? Obviously, there was, you know, there were big issues with a lot of closure of, you know, of say, you know, mental health facilities and things like that, you know, years ago. But in the last 5 years, say, has it increased, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've seen an increase when the recession started. And also, you know, homelessness is also impacted through, you know, the cost of rental accommodation, you know, the cost of housing and the cost of living. You know, all those, you know, contribute to the increase of people being homeless. Mm.
It seems like you probably have to you have to separate these types of homelessness out, because I mean, there's an urban myth that some people that sleep on the street, many of them for some reason or other choose to be there, either they're mentally unwell or they have some, you know, some issue, versus people who's through poverty have simply been driven to sleeping in a garage or sharing a house,
families. I think homelessness is a consequence. You know, there's a pathway that people go down and there's circumstances in their life that have led them to homelessness. You know, you don't sort of get up one day and think, I'm going to go and be homeless.
Unless you're a reporter or something doing a story.
No comment. and so, you know, I guess what we support is that there's opportunities to intervene and address the issue before, you know, people end up living on the streets and sleeping in doorways.
The work that you do with the homeless, what's your primary goal? I mean, is it just ensuring that they have food and healthcare and those sort of basic needs, or is it sort of rehabilitation as well, finding homes for people, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I do, I guess, quite a wide variety of work. I work at a local level in Auckland on the front line, managing a service there, and also working on the political side with the New Zealand Coalition. I think it's everything and everything. You know, we have one goal, and that's to end homelessness in New Zealand.
Is that realistic? I mean, it's obviously a nice thing, but will there always be some level of people who, for whatever reason, sleep on the street? At that definition of homelessness?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in what I was doing, you know, probably plain and simple. And it's about having systems and structures and processes in place that are going to support people to either stop them getting to the point of being street homeless, or that are going to pick them up and actually put them, you know, into an environment where they're going to be, you know, monitored and cared for and supported.
And what you're talking about there, is that something similar to the institutions that were closed? I mean, is that a bad word? Is that?
Oh, I think we don't want to go back to institutions, you know. New Zealand did a good thing to deinstitutionalise, but you need to put things in place. You know, and it's unfortunate, you know, I mean, this is something that I studied at university, was deinstitutionalisation. And, you know, they took the institutions away, but they didn't put anything in to replace them. And people get, you know, they get institutionalised and they get disempowered and they lose hope. And so, you know, they give up. And they give up on themselves and they give up on society.
And especially if they have, there is a conception, a perception out there that a lot of these people are suffering from very serious mental health issues and need help and are not receiving it, and that's why they're on the streets. What help is there for them?
Well, I mean, you know, I think firstly mental health is just one of the components. You know, there's alcohol and drug addiction. You know, domestic violence is a significant one for women who are homeless. You know, as well as, you know, poverty and abuse and trauma, you know, other significant components. I mean, there is help out there. But the reality is it's not structured, it's not government funded, and it's not, I guess it's not planned. You know, it's hard to put services in place and support structures in place when you actually are not 100% sure on the issue that you're addressing.
I was going to say, it's also hard for a lot of systems to be enacted when someone doesn't have an address, for instance, or somewhere to receive their mail, or for their, you know, forms, you know, somewhere to put on their, when they fill in their forms and that sort of thing, don't they?
And I mean, one of the simplest things we did at LifeWise was we used our facility as an address for our guys, so it meant that we could get them onto benefits and you know, that they could receive mail and you know, I guess, you know, be connected to something.
Because I suppose when you fall through the gaps, you're by definition out of the system, aren't you?
Very much so. And it's a bit, you know, and that's the thing, is these are people that have, you know, I guess, fallen through the gaps in society, but have also been, you know, dismissed by society.
And I imagine in the case of people who are sharing houses, if they are not allowed to have more people than four in a house. They won't admit that there's another family in the garage because it could invalidate their tenancy or them in trouble with Housing New Zealand. So they can't tell people what's happening.
And what happens, unfortunately, is that Housing New Zealand would come along and rather than addressing the issue, they evict them. Yeah. And so, you know, you're actually creating homelessness, which is, you know, it just adds to the problem.
There's obviously a few issues at a national government level. Coming from Wellington, I've heard lots of stories over the years of the Wellington Council wanting to move people on, really just a NIMBY sort of issue. They're not in my backyard, not in my city. What's Auckland City Council like in its approach to homelessness?
Well, I think probably just to respond to your Wellington comment, Wellington City Council are working with Downtown Community Ministry. And they have got a project in place where street homeless people are being housed into Wellington City Council flats.
Okay. Is that a relatively recent thing, is it?
It's been going for a while. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the name, but I can't. So okay. Apologies to DCM.
Auckland City?
Auckland City Council have the Homeless Task Force, which is a strategy. And what that's done is actually brought in 12 government agencies and community agencies. An MOU has been signed. And it's basically an agreement that will, you know, that all these agencies will work together to address homelessness in Auckland.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Corey. That's all we've got time for today. If people would like some more information, you can Google New Zealand Coalition to End Homelessness and find out more there. Coming up after the break, we talk about the end of journalism as we know it, and we catch up with the boys from Lesion Mystic.